tell them I want to tell them that I...
Well, we're all sitting there kind of embarrassed, and he turns back. He says, oh, boy, these guys bug me. Every time I go into a joint, boy, oh, boy, you know, I feel like just belting that guy right in the mouth. Well, the chick, I don't know what made her say it. The chick sitting over here to my right apparently has been taking this jazz from this guy for like maybe 5 years now. And all of a sudden she says, Charles, you're always saying that kind of stuff. Why don't you once belt somebody in the mouth? Oh, boy. And the girl sitting opposite me, obviously we are not making the scene. We are not talking the same language. She's talking about last year at the beach. She's looking off over the shoulder. She's bored. I can see that. There's nothing. No, there are very few experiences that man experiences more worse and more horribly than to take a chick to a place, an expensive place, a date you've been looking forward to, and you can see in the glazed eyeball of those china blue eyes that she is bored out of her skull. So you're sitting there, you know, and this girl is starting a little hassle with the guy, you know. Why don't you, you're always talking, why don't you hit him, you know. You're always talking, what a loud mouth, big blabber mouth. And he's sitting there, oh, what do you mean, for crying out loud, a guy comes over here, whatever. And they're yelling across the table. I'm sitting in the middle of it all, my pants are itching, my coat is itching, my tie is too tight. I got the shirt on that I got for graduation, and it's up around my elbows, you know. And I'm sitting there, and everything is binding me, and I'm beginning, the borscht is down in my stomach, it's bloop. Once in a while, it's coming up, the sour cream is coming out of my ears, and you know, it's getting hot in the joint. Well, the waiter comes back. And the waiter says, I am sorry, sir, but we have none. We just are out of it. I have been talking to the kitchen. We are out of it. And the guy says, oh, you guys are always giving me the jazz. What do you want me to do, slip you $5? And by this time, he's bugged. And the waiter says, I am sorry, sir, but I do not know what you are talking. With that, the clown gets up and hits the waiter in the mouth. Birds, please. Well, hits this poor old guy in the mouth. Luckily, this swinger was not much of a swinger, you know. It was one of those sort of half-shoving, scuffling pushes where the chair falls over, you know, and somebody knocks the glass of water over on my corduroy electric blue coat, you know. And the whole thing starts, blah, blah, blah. It goes like that. Oy, oy, oy. I turn around on my back, and with that, somebody knocks over in back of me, knocks a bottle of beer over me. Somebody in the next table turns around with his elbow. Bloop, bloop, bloop. I got a thing full of Egyptian beer down my neck. Oy, oy, oy. Well, with that, the waiter is kind of half sitting down on a chair. It's like he's crying or something. I don't know what kind of sniffling sounds he was making. Guys are coming out of the kitchen, carrying bottles. A couple of guys got big, long poker-like things. A guy is running out from behind the place where they got the cash register, and they're all converging on our table. Oh. Well, what do you do? What do you do? If you're Robert Preston and you're a Class D movie, you get up and you start swinging at everybody, you know? Just on general principles. The fight has started, you start fighting. But I hated this clown I'm sitting with, you know? I was hoping they'd hit him on the head with the clobber thing. Well, they come rushing over, and the first thing they see is me sitting there in my rotten blue coat. I, with my big ears sticking out, I look like the obvious kind of guy who's hit a waiter. I got beer all over down the neck, and the waiter, you know, rah, rah, sitting there, blah, 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 with a soup on his knees. And the cook comes over and he says, what are you doing, you big ruffian? You big ruffian, you guys come in here. And he's waving at me like that. Oy, oy, oy. You don't want to hear the rest of this story, do you? Oh, boy. I'm sure glad that my ears grew back to normal size. Now, nobody blames anything on me anymore. The chapness is gone from my hands. I got a shirt that fits now. I got a coat that looks like everybody else's rotten, crummy black coat. I got a collar that buttons. My collar's never buttoned, you know. I had these shirts that I had when I was in high school, and I came back and I buttoned them. It's funny how they button. They changed all the buttons. And every time I'd swallow, I had the back end of an Eskimo bar stuck in my throat for over a half an hour one day until it melted. Couldn't get through my collar. I just sat there. Well, so I'm sitting there, you know, and I can only tell you that I'm very pleased now that I am the last guy that people suspect has hit the waiter. any place I go. You know? Well, I got up, you know, it's funny. It's terrible because I got up and all these people were a little round and fat, you know, and they all looked like cuddled Seikal, that kind of thing, you know. They had imported them especially for the Russian atmosphere. And you know, I got up and I says, look, one more thing. I don't know whether you know much about GI haircuts, but this was a genuine one. If you think they're crew cuts, forget it, Dad. No, they're not crew cuts at all. There's a thing that goes all the way up to the top. There are two knobs on the back of every man's head that are specially polished when they do a GI haircut. You know the real thing, Ed? When they polish those two knobs, like two little dumbbells that stick out of the back. Well, I had that kind of a haircut, you know. And I get up and I say, oh, now look, look. And this guy is not opening his trap. He is not saying, I hit him, I'm sorry. He is not saying, I'm sorry, don't yell at my friend. He is just sitting there. Well, I reached down and I grabbed this guy by the collar and I said, he hit him. He hit him. And I threw him over to the wall. I says, he hit him. And I grabbed this chick and I says, come on, Dorothy, we're going. And I grabbed the chick and I threw my last $10 down on the table. Let's get out. And we walked out into this place and it is raining. I get out on the street. I have forgotten that I have checked my coat. I got no coat. It's raining. I go back, and it's terrible after you've made a grand exit to louse it up and have to go back, you know. So I go back, and I got no money now. I gave him my 10. I holler, Dorothy, you got a quarter? And she says, yes. She gives me a quarter, and I throw the quarter down. I give me my coat, and I can't find the rotten little round tag that says 42 on it, you know. She said, what's your number? And I said, I don't know. It's the green one with the twigs on it. Give me the one with the twigs over there with the red stripes and the fringe on the bottom. Give me that one. That's mine, the funny one. And so she gives me my coat. I put it on. I get out on the street, and Dorothy turns to me and says, you were rotten, absolutely rotten. You left Charles sitting there in trouble. You didn't do anything to help him. You just sat there. You're rotten, absolutely rotten. She'd been waiting all night to pick a fight with me. She wanted to break it off. So we're walking down towards the Elgin. You're rotten. You've changed. You're a terrible person now. We have nothing in common. We have nothing to talk about. You don't know nothing about the office. You weren't at the beach last year. You don't know nothing about Charles's problem with his sister Ethel. We talked about it for over a year in the mailroom. You don't know nothing about that. You're not part of this life anymore. Go, go. Get out of here. I knew you'd want to hear the rest of that. And then, like a clown, the next day I called her up. You don't want to hear what happened then, do you? Call her up. Oy, 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 when I think back, insanity is thy name. I figured it hadn't happened. And the next day I called her up. You could still smell the beer on me. I got home. My mother says, you're taking the drinking beer now. Why don't you just drink it? Why do you have to pour it down your neck? Because all mothers have fantastic ideas of what you did when you were out there. And the strange thing about it is that they don't even know the half of it. You know, thank heavens. So she says, now you're taking the drinking beer and pouring it down your neck. I said, no, Ma, I did not pour the beer down my neck. If I ever pour beer down, I pour it down my neck. Not down my neck. I pour it down my neck. She says, well, you certainly have changed. Changed. You certainly have changed. You're not the kid that you used to be. Look at you sitting there. You come home at 2 o'clock in the morning. You're in a bad mood. I wait up to see you, and you smell of beer. And you don't say anything. You slam into your bedroom, throw the door shut, and go to sleep. And you only been home 4 days. You've changed. I said, but Ma, what do you mean changed? I went to this joint. Do you know where the yar is? She says, the yar. You're hanging around the yar? Yeah. She says, you take me out the first night we come home. Where do we go? Pixley and Ehlers. 74-cent blue plate. And you take that. I'll tell you about that girl. You know what she's been doing when you were gone? I said, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to care. I don't want to hear it.
Oh,
All right, stop it. It's a funny business. Now, you're going to think I invented that, but I didn't, you know. I really didn't. That's the night. I never have been in a scene where they did it, what they always do in the movies, like jump up and hit people. It's the only time in my life I've ever seen one of those. Oh, yeah, I take it back. One night I'm asleep in the barracks. You know, these are the kind of scenes you never hear. You just never see in movies about soldiers. I'm asleep in the barracks one night in this fantastically rotten outfit I was assigned to. And it's composed of a lot of casuals from the 82nd Airborne. These guys have got stubble on their stubble. They're so, you never saw such angry men. Really angry. And they're out yelling and hollering. And so at 3 o'clock in the morning, there is a sudden scream down at the other end of the barracks, and somebody has come in, and just just feeling like it, he has reached down, grabbed the guy's bunk, and dumped him over. He says, "Get up, you bum, you want to fight?" And the guy gets up, and he wanted to fight. Pow! And the next thing I knew, the entire 82nd Airborne is going at it in the barracks. And I'm in the middle of it all, you know. And, you bum! I'll show you who did what at Rizzardi. Pow! Pow! What are you talking about? A first division with a rotten goof up the right. What was Val Craig? They're rolling on the floor. And there wasn't a single Van Johnson to be seen anywhere. Rip Torn wouldn't have made that scene, I'll tell you that. Paul Newman, oh boy. Yeah, keep your knees loose, Charlie. Keep your gloves soft and supple. You might get the call.